Welcome back to the Our Time Show. This is the only watch show by Watch Geeks for Watch Geeks. And I say that like I mean it. This is the only watch show. Certainly the only one worth listening to. I'm Victor Marks.
I'm Nicholas De Leon. And I agree with you, Victor. We're the only people worth listening to.
I'm saying all of those other people, they're inconsequential.
They're not worth listening to. It's as simple as that.
Doesn't even matter. Not even a blip on the radar.
No. Who cares? Who are we? There are other people.
You can measure. You can measure exactly how long you should spend with a chronograph. 1/100th of a second.
Yeah, that might be.
And even that's why you buy a chronograph. That's what a Speedmaster is for. Right there, measuring that 1/10th of a second.
I know. We got an actual topic to talk about. Just a brief tangent. I was looking at some Breitlings earlier this week.
Why?
That is a brand. Yeah, that is a brand I'm not super familiar with, actually. Why? Because I think John maybe last week mentioned like, oh, why don't you just get a Breitling? And it was like not to me, but like people who are like obsessed with Rolex and paying multiple over retail for like a sub or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, Breitling. I don't, I know the name obviously, and I've seen them, but like, I don't know much about, so I went through, their website. They make a lot of, this is going to sound ridiculous, but like they make a lot of very nice watches. I know that's breaking news. Should I alert the media?
It kind of is in a way, because if you ask me my perspective on those, a lot of them are entirely too large.
I don't know the sizes, to be honest with you.
42, 43, 45. They're big.
What was the one that I liked?
Like they make a few models that are 40 or 38. And for the most part, they're all those 44 kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Super Ocean Heritage 42. You know, it's big stuff. And the shame of it is, the pity of it is, I like some of those designs. Like I would wear some of those Super Ocean Heritage stuff.
Sure.
But not in the big size that they are.
Yeah, I guess I am looking now. I see 44. This one's 41. This is the, what are they calling this? Top Time Chronometer.
Ah, see, that's a vintage heritage style model.
Yes, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It's not even that much. It's like 4,900. Yeah, 5,000. Yeah, but they make a lot of, the one that was announced earlier this year, it's kind of like a black and gold aesthetic. They make a point. I'm just saying, not a brand I have not paid any attention to.
Their story is a weird one. Like they were a family-owned company, as many Swiss brands were, for a long time, like 1880s, all the way up through the 1970s. In the 1970s, they were subject to a reverse takeover by Sakura. They basically were going under, and Sakura bought them and then rebranded all of their Sakura watches as Breitling. And up until the 70s and even later, they weren't always doing chronographs. A lot of their chronographs were actually made for them by O&W.
Okay.
Wallach and Wach. And so it's an interesting history of them. And they stayed within this family up until just a few years ago, three years ago, something like this, when they got bought out by a VC firm.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Run.
and now that firm is trying to unload them.
Interesting. Well, why don't we make some calls and let's buy Breitling.
That's what I'm telling you. We got to round up some friends and round up some funds, and we could go buy Breitling.
That would be a lot of fun.
That would be kind of epic, wouldn't it?
Well, we got a fun podcast this week, folks. We bought Breitling.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of heritage there.
You've got
a huge distribution chain because you've got a lot of authorized dealerships.
Yeah.
You've got that sales network. They tried doing this thing a year ago or a little less than a year ago where you could basically sign up to rent a model and wear it and then return it and description kind of thing.
They announced something a couple of months ago too. I think I wrote about it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I forget the name, but yeah.
And so they're trying these different things. They're experimenting, which is good. Now, that whole rental model thing never works. Like, people have tried that.
I think we ran the numbers, too, where it's like,
it fails every time. But it's an interesting thing, right?
That they're trying, rent the runway didn't exist, 20 years ago, whatever. But
traditional watch retail sales has been always through the authorized dealership, through a jeweler that's local to you kind of thing.
Sure.
And we're seeing a lot more this year, especially of brands starting their own online boutiques, doing direct sales.
Yes. Actually, slight tangent. Speaking of boutique, what's it called? Tudor just opened theirs in New York City. It's the first U.S. boutique physical location for Tudor exclusively. It is somewhere.
I mean, there are a lot of Tudor stores where there are Rolex stores and then a Tudor one right adjacent to it.
Yeah, I believe this is Tudor exclusively.
I was in one of those in Hong Kong, and it was Rolex on one side, and you walk around the corner, and there you are in Tudor, and it was really nice, but. You know, a lot of locales don't have that. A lot of locales have your traditional family jeweler who happens to be the authorized dealer for this brand.
Yeah.
And so this is very cool that they're going to their own online boutiques so that you can skip the authorized dealer entirely and go directly through them. Now, of course, Rolex and Tudor aren't doing that, but several other brands are. And, you know, if we bought Breitling, would it make sense to do direct sales like that?
I was actually trying to say, like, why wouldn't we? Oh, here's a question. Well, wouldn't we do direct sales?
Here's why. If you have that whole dealer network in place.
Sure.
The fastest way to piss them off is to sell direct also.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Because you have now totally cut them out, right?
Yeah.
And they want their commission. They want their cut.
Okay.
So you have just, you have just totally ruined an arm that was dedicated to servicing your customer and to being your point of contact if there was a problem. Like if they wanted to have a warranty issue, or if they thought something was wrong, they could come back to the jeweler and the jeweler would say, hey, you know what? I've got you, don't worry, and then send it back to the factory. You've destroyed that goodwill.
Yeah. Okay. So and that's clearly valuable. There's value there.
I mean, it isn't in that setting up those networks is super hard.
Yeah.
And so do you want to destroy the thing that was super hard to set up?
Do we? Yeah, we have this network. Do we want to just completely?
You want to blow it up or what?
Delete button, blow it up, and now start it from scratch. Yeah, I guess it is a tricky. And maybe this will be a slight segue to one of our topics here. You know, it's like when Steve Jobs made Apple stores 20 years ago.
Yes.
You know, and he was trying to get, you know, Macs in front of people's eyes. You couldn't walk into like a Walmart and buy.
No. Back then. In the ages before the Apple retail store. 1998 to 2000, yes, exactly. Let's say, right? You had a few places you could go. They sold things in Best Buy. They sold things in the back corner of CompUSA. They had what they called a store within a store concept where the back corner was dedicated to Apple products and Apple.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah.
I've never even stepped foot in CompUSA. They were never around here.
Oh, yeah. And Sears.
Sears, really?
Sears. iBooks. Remember the old color candy color iBooks featured in Legally Blonde, for example?
Oh, yeah. Well, my favorite movie, yeah.
Sears. On the shelf at Sears.
Sorry, I came in late, guys. I apologize.
I didn't realize it was
Sears Day here at the Hour Time Podcast.
It's funny you just joined.
So to catch you up, John, Nicholas and I are buying Breitling.
The brand.
Both you guys are going to buy it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You realize you don't have enough money. I mean, it's going to take at least $20,000 to $30,000 to buy to buy all that IP.
Yeah.
Here's a watch that looks a little bit like a Speedmaster. Here's a watch that looks.
Do they accept pancake swap tokens?
what sort of NFTs do we have to offer?
Yeah.
Breitling,
well, the reason why we brought up Breitling was because we talked about last week and how Rolex is not the only game in town and you're going to spend multiple times off retail for whatever. Whereas I think you had mentioned you can get yourself a nice Breitling for whatever, you know, for much less than that. Mm-hmm. And then I had said, you know, Breitling is not a brand I really knew anything about. I didn't know any, I knew they existed.
He was talking about buying a Top Time and I said, you know, we could just buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole apparently, company? Apparently
it's for sale, so.
Well, a lot of these companies are for sale. Like I was talking with a buddy of mine who would, they offered him all of Doxa, I think it was, just to own.
Yeah.
And then like what's it call it? Invicta just bought Oris. So all this stuff is
wait,
on the
wait,
block.
Wait, Invicta bought Oris? No way. That didn't happen, did it?
I don't recall seeing that.
It was Glycine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was Glycine.
Yeah, sorry, I messed up.
Okay, yes, yeah. That was a few years
ago. Yeah, Rudolph, who is the CEO over at Oris, would be very surprised to learn that.
Rudolph, guess what happened?
You walk in one day and, holy crap, everything's been bought?
Rudolph, sorry, you know.
The only thing they left behind was the Oris bear.
Yes, the Oris bear. Sweet, sweet Oris Bear.
So everyone's for sale. I mean, that is just, I guess that is kind of true. Like everyone has a price, to quote the Million Dollar Man, the old wrestler.
I would argue that we all have a price. Ultimately, we all have a price. We'll sell our souls to the company store just to get what? Just to get a Daytona.
Yeah. If Mark Zuckerberg has a blank check for wristwatchreview.com, I'm sure you would sell.
Oh, God. I would sell it in a heartbeat. Look, I'm willing to sell this site.
We're well aware.
Lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. I tried to sell it once. It didn't work out because everybody's like, well, you should just charge, like, you could just pay, well, I'll pay you $5.99 for it. I'm like, no,
seems low.
I'll take $20. And they didn't want to negotiate in that at that level. So it was just really frustrating.
Anyhow, that was it. So we're buying Breitling, and we were actually talking right before you jumped on, what is the value of like a do we with our, you know, as new owners of Breitling, do we go direct to consumer? Do we kind of cut out the distribution network? Do we tell the ADs, take a hike? We'll sell this stuff on our own. Then we went into some talk, you know, how Apple started the Apple Store. You couldn't, you know, in the late 90s, you really, you know, it was limited stores would carry Apple products. So Steve Jobs launched his own Apple retail. So that catches
now
you.
Now you're caught up.
Now you're caught up.
All right, good. What else we got going on? I wear my Seiko. I guess it was a tuna can or whatever you want to call it. To the beach last weekend, and it got condensation inside of it.
Really?
Condensation inside of a Seiko.
That's
Seiko
ridiculous.
Is known to be condensation free.
Right. This is supposed to be the waterproof diving watch.
Yeah, of course.
I bought this thing. So I wouldn't have to worry about water getting at the absolute very least. Nothing else can really.
How old is this tuna?
Like a year or something like that.
So it's a new tuna.
Yeah, new tuna, new style. I forget what the actual number is. I can look for the
Seiko
tuna style. It's like one of those Seiko fives.
I am shaking my fist at Seiko right now for this. Those terrible people. What is this? Why would it do that if it's a brand new watch?
I don't know. I don't have any idea.
I mean, there have been a lot of complaints on YouTube and so forth of Seiko quality control kind of slipping over the past, you know, how many years, but like alignment issues. I understand they're pumping these watches out, you know, a million per second, basically.
Well, they're not right now because there's a shortage of NH35 movements.
Is there?
There is a shortage of NH35 movements. Prices are going up for the movement because they just can't produce them in Malaysia right now.
Is there a reason for that?
COVID problems.
Okay, so it is linked to...
It's all supply chain, right?
Yeah. But I agree with you, John. That is the point of a Seiko. You just kind of get it and not have to think about it.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're thinking about
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Toyota of cars, of watches.
Yes. Reliable.
Beige.
Beige. Nothing. not super exciting, but it'll take you to the Target, as people say.
It'll get you the Target. It's not going to get you the Target. It doesn't get you anywhere. I can't even take it to the beach.
You can't. Yeah, I guess you
can't even take it to the beach. I'm very upset.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't even take it to the sandbar.
Well, I was going to say, and this was one of our formal topics this week, which you can take to the beach, maybe, possibly.
Go on.
Is the new Apple Watch. Apple Watch Series 7 was announced on Tuesday, September 14th.
And you can take it to the beach because it is now dust proof.
Yes.
See, I nailed it. It's dust proof. It's durable. It's got a
completely
brand new crystal.
Dust-proof.
Yeah. So it's completely like going to not scratch, not break, not anything at the beach.
What are our, I think we all have Apple Watches here. I think we're all vaguely pro Apple Watch in some respects. What was your take? I guess it was a bigger change than they've had in recent years. It's got kind of the a larger screen, which kind of like bleeds over the edge, which if I may, I hate that in phones where the screen bleeds over. No, thank you. I don't know. It feels like, I don't know.
It's slightly better. I mean, I wouldn't do an upgrade. I wouldn't pay for an upgrade right now.
Sure.
This was the SE round of updates for everybody, for everything, for the phones, for everything.
Yeah.
So even like the slightly bigger screen, what does that get you? And
I can't imagine much.
the only thing it got you was a keyboard that they stole from some other dude. So that's a, did you hear about this?
Yeah. There's a guy who's got an app for a keyboard and he's
Touch
suing
Type
them.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I didn't see that.
And it's weird because swipe keyboards have been around for ages. So I'm not sure what his claims are, but
yep.
Here we go.
Well, I mean, his whole point is that he had it on the phone or he had it on the watch.
Oh, okay.
Before Apple did. That's the whole thing.
I mean, that's just the story of Apple. They just take, you know. Well, they mixed. Do that.
Some historically.
They have done that.
But
yes, historically.
The whole thing, right, is a little less common. They'll take a feature and basically render your stuff useless. But taking the whole thing is a little different. Anyway.
Yeah. I suppose.
What offended me is that the Series 7 watch uses the same CPU as the Series 6. So there's no actual greater capabilities. It's just got better charging, right? You can charge 33% faster, and
yes,
that's wonderful. But everything else is pretty much the same except for the screen and a different watch face or two. And they're still selling the Series 3.
Yeah, they're still selling the Series 3.
They should be ashamed. I am personally offended that they are still selling the Series 3.
Yes, they are.
The Series 3 is such a god-awful watch in this day and age. It has been for 2 years a god-awful watch.
Oh, yeah. You've mentioned that in the past.
You cannot update this watch when a software update comes without erasing the whole thing because there's not enough internal storage to handle the update. Dog slow. It is so slow that calling it dog slow is an insult to dogs. It is abominable. Sure. It is not... They shouldn't. Why are they selling this thing? Because they can pop it out for $100 and.
So what they got? So which one do they have? So I was thinking about this the other day. So they got the Series 6.
Yeah.
Which is the latest and greatest.
Series 7 is the latest and greatest.
Series 7. I think the last time I purchased, I bought my mom one. She needed a new one. I think I got her the SE.
That's the CPU of the Series 5. It doesn't have the always on screen. It has the kind of almost always on screen.
Right.
It doesn't have the
blood pulse oximeter,
the ECG maybe.
Oh, so no, I definitely got her a Series 6 then because I wanted to get her the ECG.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean that the whole
No, it has the SE has the ECG. It's got the, it just doesn't have the pulse ox.
Yeah, but the whole idea that you're going to be sitting there and buying a Series 3 still for $199, I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand why you would still try to sell that thing. I mean, I guess they need. So the interesting thing about Europe, I every time I go to Europe, I always see like there's always somebody who's like wearing Rolexes and all like the Breitlings and all the fancy stuff.
Sure.
Nobody. Only one person that I knew, and she was super fancy, had a Colt on. She was wearing a Breitling Colt. Nobody else wears fancy watches anymore in Europe.
Yeah.
It's all Apple watches. There's a couple guys that I know who are like still into like their whatever AP or whatever that they've been wearing for two decades. But
the guys in the sales department still buying Panerai. And
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Kinda, yeah.
All Apple watches. So yeah, I understand it because I bought Apple watches for my mom. She doesn't know what she wants. She just wants a smartwatch. She literally wags her arm around to get her steps in because she thinks that's exercise. she's so into it. She loves it. So if I'm going to buy her something for $199, I want it to at least kind of work. So I mean, you could feasibly buy a cheapo Xiaomi or whatever, for the same price that has a few more features. So they should kill the Apple Watch 3 completely and maybe leave SE and 6, but I think it's SE and 7 is probably the answer.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're killing 6 and going to SE and 7. And 6 is currently being discounted from $349 to $320.
What about the Apple Watch Hermès? We should get a little Apple Watch Hermès.
The Double Tour.
Yeah, the Double Tour.
And it's funny because when Jobs came back in 97, wasn't one of his big criticisms like there's too many, we got too many SKUs here.
Yeah.
Can we simplify?
The four Apple square product matrix, yeah.
/watch. And there is Series 7, Series 6, SE, Series 3, Nike Watch, Hermes. Dude, that's a lot of watch. If I'm just like a regular person and I don't know any of this stuff, you know, what do I do?
The simplified product matrix was going away when Jobs was still around, but I have to inform you, and I'm very sorry to break this news to you. Steve Jobs passed away.
I didn't hear that. When did I
get this memo? It was a little while ago.
It was like 2011.
This week?
It was 2011.
No, this was a while ago. Yeah,
it was about this time of year, but it was 2011-ish. And so, yeah.
I think that was a criticism as the years was like, again, this was a, yeah, not a lot of SKUs, and now SKUs have crept into the situation.
Yeah. Well, back in the olden days, back in the olden days, you reduced your SKUs because he didn't have a huge distribution system either. So he didn't have a way to manufacture like 50 different versions of this computer. So he basically just said, okay, make one iMac, give it a little extra memory here, a little extra hard drive here. Now, but I mean, okay, so let's talk about iPad Air, iPad.
When they launched that first iMac, they did the one color in 98, and in 99, they did the color explosion where they had six colors. So they already went ahead and increased their number of SKUs by increasing the number of colors. You could have thing in blueberry, you could have it in strawberry, you could have it in lime, you could have it, right? So in terms of SKU management and keeping costs down and stuff, they already kind of blew that out of the water early on. But yeah, it was the same iMac, right? You knew which iMac you wanted. You just want to know which color you're going to buy it in.
I just remember a lot of the Apple bloggers, you know, let's call it 2013-ish just have one iPhone, you know, when Samsung would come out with the Galaxy and they had like a million Galaxy variants and they're like, oh, you should be like Apple. It's a lot more simple. And it's like,
well, they had two models, right? They had the iPhone one in 8 gigabyte, and they also had the 4 gigabyte model.
I think we're all on the same page anyway. But like, there's a lot of watches to sift through, and I'm just like, hey, I want an Apple Watch. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. Just want an Apple Watch.
I have only ever
seen the 6 or the 7 or the SE. It's like, I don't know. Now I don't want it anymore.
I have only ever once met one dude with their Amaze watch, and I was kind of surprised to see it.
Yeah, that is interesting. I've never seen a single person with their Amaze on. I bought the stainless way back when. When the first stainless came out, because I wanted slightly fancier, but
fancier,
the
sapphire crystal,
sapphire crystal, all the other good stuff. But I never upgraded. I never went that route down the way. That later on,
I knew one dude who had ceramic.
Yeah, and ceramic. Oh,
that was a very very cool watch, and that was kind of nice.
So nice.
The ceramic.
There is no price for the Hermes. Is it Hermes or Hermes? I don't know.
Hermes,
I think.
There is no price on the site. So.
Well, if you have to ask, you can afford it.
Is that the thing? Hey, how much is that a Hermes version?
Okay, what else we got?
I think. Can we?
They're over the now, aren't they? What are they?
Yeah,
I actually don't know offhand.
They're definitely over. We gotta get some. We gotta get some content on the site. The last episode was like last week. We didn't write anything. What do we got? We got the new G-Shock. Oh, so this G-Shock. So yeah, exactly. So we're talking about smartwatches, for example.
Sure.
So the G-Shock, this is the GSWH-1000-1 or whatever. And it's one of these beefy ones. It's the beefy G-Shock. I was pleasantly surprised. No, I don't always.
Oh, hold up. I'm sorry. Breaking news. The Apple Watch Hermes in 40 millimeter size, that's the slightly smaller size, in the doublature strap is $1,399.
Wonderful. Excellent. Excellent pricing.
Thank you.
Let's pick one up.
That's not that much, actually.
But it's ridiculous because you're upgrading anyway. Well, yeah, I mean, no, okay. If you're independently wealthy, then it's absolutely a steal. If you really think about it, because you don't have to pay $150,000 for a FP Journe, you can buy your Apple Watch, which is exactly what people are doing. Which is, if I were a watch manufacturer right now, I'd want to sell to Nicholas because I have no future.
Brightly. Yeah, I got 150 pancake swap tokens for the next brand that
any brand that wants to sell. We got pancake swap tokens coming in hot.
I have to go to New Jersey though to sell them because I can't get fiat in New York State for these stupid. Don't worry about it.
Just go to New Jersey and take care of it.
Meet me at the PATH train and we'll do the transaction.
G-Shock.
So I'm a big fan of G-Shock. I like Casio. Love what they do. They've really gotten better with almost everything now. I'm really impressed over the past couple of years. This particular piece is really bold. It's an Android Wear piece, and it has like this weird like app that they built into that, and it hides all the Android stuff behind this app. So you have like health, you have all this other stuff. The only thing it doesn't have is like, I think a pulse oximeter or whatever. But it does have like a map. So you can like map your way home. You can do your runs. You can do all this other stuff. I have another G-Shock here, which is it's one step down, which supports workouts, but in a really weird way. It's really interesting. It's like the, I don't know if you've used this, I guess it's unique to that. It's more like a ProTrack style of workout, like track tracking. It takes a long time for it to store the data, which is kind of silly, but it's got a GPS built in. So I'm thinking to myself, I'll do a head to head, but I would actually prefer the simpler version without all the Android Wear stuff. Cause the battery life on Android Wear is about 2 days. Battery on this thing, on this workout watch, which is basically their equivalent of a Fitbit, is, I don't know, infinite, because it's got a solar panel on it.
So what they do for the Android Wear watches is they sort of run a dual OS kind of thing where Android, when it runs the battery down to X level percent, they stop using Android and then run this light version that only powers the watch and a couple other things. So you can go for the longer period of battery life, right?
Yeah. I mean, like right now I can barely see the screen because it's basically powered down.
It's in
down.
Low power.
Yeah. So it's low power mode, which is fine. I mean, like I don't mind that by any stretch of the imagination. I don't see any value in having a...
What I would want to see is you do that head to head, but you also include a Garmin Fenix.
I haven't messed with Garmin in a while. I'll check those guys out again.
Look at the Fenix, because the Fenix is their serious sport watch, their serious activity watch.
Yeah.
And it's got the GPS and the running and all the workouts and stuff in it. And I had a Fenix 3 somewhere, but the Fenix 5 or Fenix 6 that I think they're on now would be a serious competitor for some of that stuff.
Yeah, no, I always like the Garmin stuff. The Garmin's always been good. I used to own the original GPS Garmin. Remember that one that looks like a little bar of soap that was I ran a marathon in that.
You ran a marathon?
I was about to say.
Yeah, I ran a marathon.
That's very impressive.
That was years ago. That was before I turned into a lump of garbage.
That's amazing. So a Garmin is actually the appropriate watch for you.
I think so. I mean, I still wear the Apple Watch to work out. That's all. It's the only thing I do.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're working out like lazily on the treadmill or something, the Apple Watch is your watch.
Oh, I never work out lazy. I work out strong. Work out hard.
But yeah. This is the way people think of it, right? This is Apple Watch's most strong competitor for serious fitness is the Garmin.
Yeah. Yeah, I would argue that they do a superior job. The Garmin does a superior job because they focus on recovery. They focus on, like, I remember they had like the ghost. Remember they had the ghost runners that you would you could run against people. Like you'd run against ghosts.
There was an app that I saw called Zombie Run, where you ran against zombies.
Well, you weren't running.
I remember that one. You weren't specifically running
against the zombies.
Trying to run from them.
Yeah, you're like, oh, the person you're running with.
Yeah.
Let's say the random person is 200 feet ahead of you. Run a little bit faster. It would tell you to do that.
Yeah, right?
So it kind of like, and you could like compare your runs before and after, that kind of stuff. So it was pretty fun.
I used to use that app in the News Corp gym at 1211 Avenue of the Americas, that zombie running app. Just had some nostalgia flashbacks, gentlemen.
Oh, good. That's so good nice. Stuff.
Young
so
Nicholas. Nice for you.
Yeah. Young Nicholas at News Corp.
Yeah. What a, who did I see? I never saw Bill O'Reilly. I saw Don King once. That was kind of interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I would see Britt Hume like every morning, actually. I'm sure he's listening. Hello, Britt.
Hi, Britt. All right, what else we got going on?
That's the stuff.
That's about it, actually.
That's it? All right. Anyway, so don't buy Seiko. They fill up with water. Don't buy the Apple Watch 3 and buy Breitling. Let's get everybody, if you just drop us a line, let us know if you're into purchasing Breitling with us. We can all just do it together.
Crowdfund,
let's crowdfund it together. Yeah, let's buy it. We'll call it Wristwatch Bright Reviews presents Breitling.
Yeah, I'm into it.
And Victor Marx can be the new CEO of.
I would also vote Victor. I'm yeah. Congrats, Victor.
Congrats, you now own Breitling.
Yes.
All right. This has been the Our Time Podcast. I'm John Biggs.
I'm the CEO of Breitling.
And I'm just Nicholas Dalio.
And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Our Time Show, the official podcast of wristwatchreview.com. Feel free to email us at tips@wristwatchreview.com with your feedback and suggestions. And please be sure to visit wristwatchreview.com and wristwatchreview on Instagram for more fun watch content. Have a nice day.